Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Let the dead bury their dead. Romans chapter 6. I know it's 23 verses, but I don't know how to divide Romans chapter 6. I just don't. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, not thinking, not believing, knowing this, that our old man's crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I could stop there. I don't know that I couldn't preach for days just on the first six verses, Romans 6, 1 through 6. But then he goes on, he says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, I want you to keep this in the context of what we spoke before we started the message this morning, of how many people actually get converted in a church house. He that is dead is freed from sin. Boy, I guess my answer would be zero. But let's go on. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died how many times? Unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. He liveth unto God. You keep that in your mind. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Once again, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Were. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now, this is now, not then, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I don't know when we should not read that. And so I ask the question, for what do you seek God? For what do you seek God? For what purpose? Aren't all things as they were and always have been? Do you live for him. Do you live with him? Or do you live without him? For what do you seek God? What are you trying to get? Where are you trying to go? I mean, we're living. Perhaps I should ask, do you seek him at all? Shall you just live and then die? What's your life? What does James say? He says it's just but a vapor. Isn't that right? What is your being? Do we truly just become like wheat and it brings forth seed and it falls to the earth and you have children and they grow up and you have generation after generation? Live and die, live and die. And then no one's going to remember that I'm here or that you were here. And the few that do, they're going to soon pass and be remembered no more. And if you walk through an old Confederate cemetery, you see names of people. Well, who are these people? Well, they were part of history. But you don't know those people. A lot of people today, they go into just go into nursing homes. And they're forgotten while they're yet living, most of them. We know that from experience. And few who live much past 80, you might say they may as well be dead while they yet live. As it said, what is your life? Yes, a vapor. But who really believes that? Look how men live. Who really believes that? Eat, drink, and be merry. Sports and pleasures of all sorts. This past week, everyone thought the world was on the brink of World War III. And yet, you see the headlines. Turn to the Word of God? No. Or was it turn to the lyrics of Taylor Swift's new album for the first four or five headlines? Or what Kim Kardashian, whoever she is, had to say? Or worse, maybe, what Joe Biden said or might not have said. I mean, we have a president of this country and a vice president, and I say without indignation, they're idiots. They're idiots. I read somebody finally spoke truth. They go, he's stupid. But here am I with the breath of life. Am I seeking God? Or going along day by day like as the chaff blown away? Am I as chosen as Elijah was, or Peter, or John, or Paul? For what purpose? What purpose? Your life. Many have written books on that. A lot of books. Did the Word of God end 2,000 years ago and we have this history book? Just a historical record to be revered? Or are you a part? Is your name written in a book? Consider for what purpose Christ. A historical figure whom most say they believe. I hear them every day. I'm weary of asking men because the next breath they're using his name in vain. So let's consider the weight of the matter upon our own lives upon this earth at this hour. And that is for me, what he did for me. Now you have to consider that for you. You remember many, many, before most of you here, I preached the message. It doesn't matter that he died for you, for me, because if he didn't die for me, I mean, it's good for you, but it wouldn't be good for me. It's what he did for me, what he did that affects me. So I can ask with all sincerity, was he wounded for your transgressions? I mean, I can easily, I don't even have to ask myself. Was he wounded for your transgressions? Yours. Was he bruised for your iniquities? Because that's all that matters. And here we should really pause. Because that can just be conceived, you say, as words spoken. As, yes, I believe that. But that doesn't tell me. I don't know about you, that doesn't tell me anything. Because he was bruised and wounded for me. Or I say, is that the way it happened to you? Not me. And not those around you. But you. Is that the way it happened to you? Was it finished there? For you? Or is there yet something to be done? See, that's the question. Is it not finished? What's going on? Any wonder I always say examine 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine your own selves. What's going on with you? And if there's yet something to be, what yet needs to be done? What work is not finished? Do you see? Because you've got to stay with me here. Consider what yet must you do? What do you have that's not... What to do with Christ is not finished with you? Or perhaps with him, has he yet work to do on you? And this is so important, I don't have words to describe it. I'm writing the message and I don't have words. Lord, I can't put this into words. Truly his thoughts are my thoughts. You see. Conversion, redemption, salvation. It's either finished or it's not. That's just the way it is. It's not a process. But you would think it was. And that's how we get religion. For then such becomes but a religion. Get out the juju beads and the crosses and all these things. You see, everything about Christ is finished. Or else I'm not in him. And you're not in him. I'm crucified with Christ. Okay. How often? Man, I'm telling you, the churches I've been through and the religions I've been through and the walks I've been through, you'd think over and over and over. We used to call them backslid or retreads or over and over. Well, how often are you going to get crucified? How often, you know? There's an old brother I knew used to say, he said, they need to get saved. They need to get saved. Every day? I know Paul said I die daily. That's a different message. And even Jesus said, take up your cross daily. That's also a different message. That's not conversion. That's not Calvary. That's who and what I am, you see. He liveth unto God, alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if it be wonderful works, casting out devils. Somebody came off mute. It be wonderful works and casting out devils. Calling him Lord, Lord. Let me know how that works out. Because the Bible tells us. I wrote, I'm weary of seeing so many over the years working for the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I mean that. Trying to live this way, or trying to do this, and trying to get or be saved. Even God said, I'm sick of sacrifices. That's what he said. And boy, you read Leviticus and all, God said, I'm tired of it. Working towards heaven, Emmaus walks, catechisms, and self-help guides of all sorts. How to get saved, how to go to heaven, how to... You see, every week I get, I don't know if you get that, do you still get the email from Founders Org? Every week I glance at it, I get an email. Materials, how to father your boys, how to live this way, how to do this. And a preacher we like, Mark Driscoll, I really like him, but you have to tell men how to be men? What? You've got to get all these men in here and teach them how to be Christians? How on God's earth could I teach anybody to be? I've seen the results of that. How to run your family? How to rule your life? How to say no to the flesh? God said he's given me a way out of everything that he's brought towards me. And then we just read Romans 6, and yet, like Galatians 4, under tutors and governors, Calvary, and yet under tutors and governors, in bondage. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Look at a couple of verses. Look at verse 4 and 5 in Galatians chapter 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, when the fullness of the time, that's already been. God sent forth his Son. Do you see it? That's Old Testament, New Testament. That's law. That's grace. That's Jew. That's Gentile. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. To what? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. You need to know how to be a son? He'd go, what? You see? It's kind of, sort of like B.C. and A.D. Who are you and where are you? If you're here for my instruction, then it's an entirely different message that you need. You see, if you're here to worship God and fellowship, and we've got something in common, we've got a spirit, we've got a bond, and we were both born of the same life, and we were both washed in the same blood. When I see most churches today, it's absolutely, I'm sad to say, the blind leading the blind. And what happens? They both fall into the ditch. Thus I say, and because Jesus said, do you remember? Let the dead bury their dead. We're of the living. We read it right there in Romans chapter 6. I don't have but one instruction book. And this morning, just a few minutes ago, we read a whole chapter. How? He said, how? Can you see Paul? He's scratching his head. How? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He goes, I don't get it. You remember he said, have I in vain? Have I preached to you in vain? Have I talked to you in vain? Man, I've had men come to me. You hear about it every week. You know, a guy came to me this week, and he, oh, preacher, I've got, you know, and I'm struggling with, and I'm, how? That's what I should ask every time they use the Lord's name in vain. How what? How can you use the Lord's name in vain? Tell me you love him. How can you do that? Let the dead bury their dead. You see? Because my Lord said, it's finished. Were you bruised? Excuse me, was he bruised for you? Was he wounded for you? Did he bleed for you? Did he die for you? Did you ever go down one man or woman and come up another? Did all things become new? I had a message to preach this morning. I'd written earlier in the week. The old story. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. And everybody, oh yeah, I've been. Catholics say they're born again. The Methodists say they're born again. The Baptists say they're born again. And yet I ask the question, how many people you ever see truly converted in church, and people that have been to church near their whole lives can't give an illustration or an example? Lord, have mercy. As I always said, Papa said it best. I am what I am. That's what I am. I was this. Remember? I was blind. Why'd you do this? Why'd you get here? Why'd you do this? Look, all I know is I was blind. And now I see. Amen. Let the dead bury